This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing, Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows, astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today, or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Hello and welcome to the first ever podcast. Joining me today is Hard Hat Garage and my buddy Steven. Today we're going to be talking about everything from cryptids to paranormal to things itching the back of your brain. Thank you all for joining us today, and let's start and get into it. Do you guys have talking points you'd like to start off
Hey,
with?
what's good?
Oh
I mean, the
my
fact
God.
that you labeled this as the first podcast ever is pretty good.
Dude,
None
Matthew's just
before,
out here.
None after. Yeah, he's really good at that. That's impressive.
I'm kind of horny.
But we'll start off light with one that's like probably fake, but I absolutely love the fucking lore. The Philadelphia experiment.
Please do enlighten
So
us.
it's about a U.S. naval vessel, the USS Eldridge, whatever, in 1943, where they were in Philadelphia shipyard in, Pennsylvania, obviously. And this guy, and there's only one guy, but this guy says that he and a bunch of fellas, one of which I believe was Einstein, were trying to figure out how to cloak a vessel, right? Like Star Trek level, like, disappear. So he said they succeeded, and what happened was it like booped out of existence with a whole crew on board. And then appeared like a couple of minutes later with like human beings halfway into like metal hull, like the, I don't know what they call them, just like the big metal bars and shit they have in ships, just like
Yeah, like
fused
the
to
hold or
it.
whatever.
And then like people like lost their minds, and there was just like flesh covered corpses they couldn't really explain.
It's that one episode of SpongeBob where Squidward and SpongeBob get shoved into like Sandy's replicator and they come back shoved into each other.
Jesus. I mean, yes, but much more
Yeah,
horrifying, it
probably
seems.
exactly like that. I imagine in 1943 they're like, this reminds me of that SpongeBob
That one
episode.
SpongeBob episode.
Yeah, maybe. So this guy, he did that, and he really held on to it, but it kind of turned out to not be true because literally no one else ever has said anything about it except for, and I can find his name, Carl M. Allen.
Carl M. Allen.
Another thing he's known for is sending an object, or sorry, a book, the book's name, The Case for the UFO Unidentified Flying Objects. He sent this book to the U.S. Office of Naval Research filled with handwritten notes. Right,
Sure.
saying what was right and what was wrong about it, and it was written in like three different shades of ink, right? Thinking like, ooh, it's three people or whatever, and then like later he's just like, no, nah, it was all me. So the guy was definitely full of shit, but I really thought it was neat that like he just kind of like held at least my attention for the whole cloak and dagger, disappear, reappear kind of thing. I think that's a neat little concept that. There's probably like 50 Star Trek episodes on.
Oh, hold on, I gotta
I'm
retake
dead.
this quote that I am reading about this. Also reportedly, when the ship reappeared, some sailors were embedded in the metal structures of the ship, including one sailor who ended up on a deck level below where he'd begun and had his hands embedded in the steel hull of the ship, as well as some sailors who, and I quote, who went completely bananas.
God damn.
Well, back in those days, that was a pretty severe diagnosis.
Okay, so
Like
this
in the
one's.
40s, if you went bananas, you were fucked.
Yeah, you were
Like,
just completely fucked.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, we already ruined that. There goes the curse word.
It's no, it's all right. It's all right. It'll be fine.
Okay, right. So this one's crazy. Another unattributed version of the story proposes that researchers were preparing magnetic and gravitational measurements of the seafloor to detect anomalies, supposedly based on Einstein's attempt to understand gravity. In this version, there were also related to secret experiments in Nazi Germany to find anti-gravity, alleged led by SS officer. Oh my, I'm about to butcher the fuck out of this one.
I would expect nothing less.
Oppengruppe Verheimer Hans Kammler. Okay, we'll just call him Hans Kammler.
Some words right there.
He was. What the fuck? Okay, that one makes no sense.
So the Oppengruppenführer?
Yeah,
Oppengruppenführer. That's a rank.
Oh.
That's a rank. That's not his name.
Oh, he's an SS. Oh, yeah.
He's just a guy. His name was Hans Kammler.
Yeah, Hans Kammler, yeah. He oversaw the constructions of various Nazi concentration camps. Okay, anyways.
Oh, man, this guy was really dabbling in all the different things.
Oh, hold on. You know. It even goes, he was, before being put in charge of the V-2 rocket and emergency fighter programs towards the end of the war.
My goodness. Well, it's a mess. It's obviously a fake mess, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, there is no way that we were just like, oop, poop a chip.
Yeah, boop. And then you know, just one guy knew about it. Everybody else kept their mouth shut all those years, and then one guy's like, "Nah, I know about this and about aliens." Okay, because that's the thing. Everything's so compartmentalized. If you know more than one thing, I start believing you less and less. Right? Like, if we are so compartmentalized that, like, you know, you can't even get your fucking password reset without a security clearance at some of these facilities. How are you gonna know more than one thing?
Okay, so...
Like, what are you, the janitor with all the keys? They're just like, yeah, we really need this guy. I mean, like, okay, that reminds me of a story of the copier repair guy, right?
Okay.
Like, so don't recruit, you know, all these big heads of state to spy on people. Just, like, recruit the copier repair guy. Because then next time the copier breaks, your boy's going to go in. He's going to, like, put something, you know, in the copier that, like, sends you a copy of everything that goes through it as well, right? And so, like, instead of having to, like, sit here and pay a bunch of money and, like, nah, you know, we'll make a better life for you to some politician in the enemy state, you're just like, I'll give you $20 if you throw this thing in the copier, and that guy's down. and suddenly you know every piece of paper that goes through whatever building you're trying to spy on. But anyways, that's a side note. I don't know where I was going with that. I just like, I like spycraft.
So you brought while we're on the topic of you know, the U.S. Army and aliens, I don't know if you know, but in like July of 1952, they had several instances of, and it also made like news headlines over this, of over the top of Washington, D.C., over the Capitol. They had multiple radar contacts of what they thought was enemy aircraft over the top of Washington, D.C.
I thought the New York Times said that was, like, just aliens. Like,
no, literally, I'm looking at a news clip from 1952, and it says, saucers swarm over Capitol. And if I remember right, there was a U.S. Air Force pilot who they sent up to go and intercept him. Of course, I believe they were flying F-80 jets at the time. And so they sent them up in the air to go and intercept. And he was able to get behind one, and at which, in a blink of a second, this thing jumped out from in front of him, and he never saw it again. He was able to get up behind it, and then... it just jumped out from in front of his plane like he had never seen before.
Good God.
I'm trying to figure
out. So just fucking vanished.
Yeah, and I believe at the time, was it Truman was our president during this time?
Oh, by the way, you guys are good to cast. Yeah, it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, and President Harry Truman quietly called for answers. Okay. Yeah, so they really couldn't
figure... he just, like, he whispered, man. He looked up at the sky, and he, like, whispered to the vice president or whoever sits next to him all day, and he goes, what the
fuck? Sir, excuse me, what the fuck is that?
I'm not tripping, right?
Oh, no, he called for answers from the Air Force's secret UFO investigation team called Project Blue Book. Was summoned to D.C., but before anyone could do anything, the Air Force went ahead and made a press conference and just blamed the whole thing on weather anomalies.
Good
because,
God.
Of course, if it's not a weather balloon, it's, you know, sun rays or some bullshit like that.
Well, I mean, like, wasn't the guys who, like, okay, so, like, when the Roswell crashed, like, the original folks was, like, the Strategic Air Command fellas, like, I forget whatever, I could look it up real quick.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, the Roswell crash, right? The people, the Air Force people were some of, like, the most renowned in the world, and they're like, yeah, man, we found a flying saucer. And, like, a week later, the Air Force is like, those guys suck at their job, they don't know what they're talking about. The 509th Commander, that's what it is.
Yeah, and it was in 1947, so it was, like, you know, 2 years after that,
right after the war.
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about the whole, like, us dropping atomic bombs on other human beings?
Really, like, you know, it's
open
nothing.
The floodgates to that.
It's nothing like just annihilating an entire, you know, entire two cities. So there's, like, 2 points for, like, using the nuke that I've always heard used. It was either we send, you know, millions of our, or thousands upon thousands of our troops into Japan, and it'd be a long, hard-fought battle, because...
No, you were right, it was millions.
Yeah, it was gonna be millions. They said the death toll was gonna be up over 900,000 people, or something to that extent, and, you know, how bloody the wars like Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal,
Peleliu,
any of those battles were some of the hardest fought shit that, like, it didn't even, like, compare a candle to, like, some of the shit that went on in Europe because of...
Well, they were training their civilians, the Japanese government, to literally sharpen bamboo sticks, like, the women and children... how to sharpen bamboo sticks and, like, fight to the last man in the cities and, like, take one with you type shit like the British were saying, but, you know, quite a few times more fanatical. But I don't know. I don't want to get lost in the weeds necessarily talking about the ethics of, of the atomic bomb. I mean, they obviously thought it was the right decision at the time with the information they had. I'm sure it wasn't an easy choice.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
But I
mean, like, what's a human life worth, I guess?
Well, it's, you know, I guess it was more of a, you know, what's our people's lives worth versus, you know, losing so many of them and to kill so many of their people. I mean, the upper rankings of Japan, you know, we don't know the extent of what they were going to go to just to, you know, keep their land. Of course, I don't...
Well, there was a plot to assassinate the emperor when he tried to surrender.
Yeah,
and it nearly worked. It didn't, but it nearly did.
I also think that I don't know if Japan also had the manpower to also uphold a full American invasion. They were without oil. They literally could not do anything with the biggest battleship ever produced in the U.S. and the Yamato. It got to the point where the Yamato was damaged in battle. So they took it back, repaired it, and then they just sunk it off the coast of Japan. Not like fully sunk it, but sunk it into the ground so they could use the cannons off the ship to ward off a U.S. invasion, of course. And so it's like, you know, the country was failing on itself. An invasion, it could have gone two different ways. It could have been extremely bloody and, you know, and just an entire obliteration of a country just about, or it could have been like we could have just ran through them. But there's no saying to, you know, how it would have been, because I mean it didn't happen, so
Oh yeah. Speaking of running through people, have you have you guys heard of the Pennonhurst Asylum in Pennsylvania?
Oh, I gotta hear about this.
So, the Pennonhurst Asylum in Pennsylvania is one of, if not the most haunted place in the world. Right now, they're selling tours to go through it. It's incredibly, I think it's personally kind of fucking stupid, but this...
Oh, yeah, we definitely should have been putting links in here. Sorry.
Oh, you're good. So,
what the fuck is... Sorry. No, that's insane. A sinkhole. Sorry. I just saw that.
No, you're fine.
Pennonhurst Asylum.
That will be a further topic for afterwards, too. That's fine. So, it has a pretty fucked history.
That's racist architecture.
It's pretty bad. By the 1980s, there was overcrowding, lack of funding, inadequate staffing, and decades of abuse and neglect by all these patients inside an operation. In 1987, it closed its doors, but death was not without positive impact. Its long-suffering patients helped put into motion change the medical practices across the country. So they were the example for the rest of the fucking world to be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't fucking treat these people the way that we have in abuse and, terrible antics and ethics. But afterwards, there's other reports similar to haunted, from hearing voices to things about certain paranormal groups have gotten through it, saying everything from hearing going away, we will kill you, we're upset, why'd you come here? And hearing things like in female voices, I'm scared, or why won't you leave? Just voices through recording, as well as creaking doors, smells, and the like. And so it's always, there's always seems something new whenever these people come into these haunted asylums, which is incredible to me that they're selling tickets. I mean, it's because it was highly published on fucking, I think it was one of those, not the world record one, but it was one of those other weird books for like, one of the haunted places, because I got an award for it. And it stuck out to me.
As, who rates
it's,
that?
I know it's insane, but it doesn't make any sense.
No, dude, I've never been so creeped out by just like looking at like old newspaper photographs, and then like it's just like,
hey, check out the pictures I sent you too of the Pennonhurst Asylum.
Oh yeah, it looks terrible.
I'm absolutely spooked by this thing. Asylum,
it looks rough, man. Oh my god!
So
the painting.
In one of the basement rooms, they had dubbed the one of the rooms called Candyland, which was a playroom in the basement decorated with childlike graphics. Like there's, if you look at the link I just sent, there's pictures of just like a decayed room with like drawings of children on the wall.
Hate that. Jesus.
And of course, like the paint, the old lead paint or whatever's coming off the wall, like you know when a lake bed dries up,
it's like all
kind of random cracks. Yeah.
Oh,
that's terrible.
So, and of course, I like to do a lot of like listening or stuff to like ghost stuff like that. I think ghost stuff has to be like one of my top tier things to like listen and look into, like especially with, like,
oh yeah.
Someone other than Zach Baggins going into a place.
Aaron, go in there.
I want someone credited, thank you. But anyways, it seems like these places that the people have been tormented and stuff, because especially in a insane asylum, the amount of atrocities committed against a person in an insane asylum is insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, no pun intended, yeah.
but the amount of like torture and stuff they did to these patients just because they couldn't like speak out and do anything against, because they were, you know, and a lot of times even special needs people were put into insane asylums because they didn't know what to do with them back in the early, you know, later 1800s and early 1900s, because they just didn't want to deal with them, so they just shoved them into insane asylums and they were just abused.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember which insane asylum it was, but it was packed so tight that they were shoving like tens to 15 people into one room. And then they end up having a, what was the name of that sickness that broke out in the early 1900s?
Like the Spanish flu?
No, I want to say it was like, tuberculosis.
Oh, shit.
They had a tuberculosis breakout. In which they couldn't stop it. It ran rampant throughout the entire asylum because conditions were so shit and they had shoved so many people inside this asylum that it just ran rampant and just, they had to start a mass grave out behind the building.
Christ, that's terrible.
But, I mean, when it comes to, like, abuse in these people, it wasn't only, like, physical, it was mentally, it was sexually. They just beat the living shit out of these people. It did not care because they didn't think they were actually, like...
Yeah, they didn't think they were people.
People!
Yeah.
And so, whenever it, like, comes to ghosts and stuff, I always think of, like, the most tormented people are going to be the ones that linger around and hold on to that because, I mean, you know, what else do you have?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you lived your entire life of utter abuse. You're going to stick around and, you know, torment other people.
It is fantastically fucking terrible. And you had said ghosts. There is the next topic I wanted to bring up, which is called the Hole of Hell or the Well of Barhaut in Yemen. Which recently...
Oh, man, dude, that guy standing next to the edge.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, it's this big-ass hole in the ground, and there's this fella with, like, his toes dipping in. And when I say big hole, it probably looks like 40 feet, 50 feet across, infinitely deep, of course.
We're gonna have to show some looks of these
like,
pictures.
The top down view kind of looks like a bubble.
And I'll put links to pictures. I'll see if I can just put them in the thing, too.
Oh, this guy's just hanging in there. Don't do that, guy.
But,
hey, he's going down. Do you notice that he's tied to a tether rope? He's gonna go in.
Oh, yeah. So they recently, actually...
No. If you scroll down some more, he's in. Oh, he's in. He's in.
Oh, my God. Yes. He is in that hole.
September 15th, 2021 is when they explored the hole. Because before then, it was an urban legend in Yemen. When it was, they thought that there were, jinn and genies and, like, bad spirits and energy in there, hearing noises and...
Jinns or something.
Yeah,
else.
And sounds to the smells being rank and dead inside of that hole, and nobody going in, the sunlight not piercing it to see the bottom at all, and thinking to, you know, thinking it was essentially a well to hell, because that was how the folklore was going around, that it was something that would be avoided at all costs. When they eventually came down and explored it, they did find bodies at the end of the hole, as well as samples of rock, soil, and water. Some of them have been, some of the geode stones have been crystallized from dripping water from over the god knows how long centuries that it's been, fucking been there. But it's incredible to think, that it was something someone explored until recently. Like, how little we know about certain places on the Earth.
Oh, I mean, you want to talk about that. I mean, there's obviously, like, the ocean.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
We know nothing
oh,
about
shit,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No. I dig the Well of Hell, though, right? Because, like, I mean, not to just, like, sit here and trash on people, but they're like, man, it has this unearthly smell. Yeah, because some dude fucking fell in. And it's been rotting for, you know, three centuries or whatever.
He's just fucking zooted.
Like, man, he hit the ground and he has not gotten back up. Like, oh, man, imagine falling in here and, like, somehow living. What is it, like,
no, it is 367. So he's super dead. Homie's fucking paced.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, no, you're not walking. You're not walking that one off.
So, that'd be a rough living, right? Well, it would, not for long.
Is it good or bad luck to throw a coin?
I would think it's fucking terrible.
It's bad luck?
Right. Oh, my. That is incredible.
So, you know, with the ocean and shit and stuff, you know, we haven't discovered and whatnot. The amount
fact that
of,
there are crocodiles in this
it's
hole
incredible.
Is fantastic.
Wait, this crocodile.
Did fuck? We brush over that?
Yes.
Yeah, we
crocodiles
did.
Crocodiles that have just been chilling in the hole. Sorry, I've been absolutely baffled by the pictures of the people in this hole for, like, the past 4 minutes.
They've also,
like,
found snakes as well in that hole, which is insane to me. Like, how? But it's just...
They have, like, a different evolution. Well, I mean, how? They, like, probably fell in and one happened to live. Well, two.
I guess
two. Happened to live, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
So...
Go ahead, Zach.
Speaking on the ocean.
Oh, fuck.
The ocean is something which is crazy to me that we have never, like, been able to fully explore. So, you know, there's probably, like, tons of creatures and stuff down in the bottom of that ocean that we
remember when we learned the giant squid was real, and it's just like, well, shit, I guess that's neat.
Yeah,
there's
deep
just,
sea
like,
giganticism.
There, yeah, they're just hanging out.
I mean, and it's crazy because we keep discovering, like, weird things that are down there, and of course we can't go down there deep enough to figure out anything. Of course, when we have dumbasses like what was the name of that one submarine that tried to go to the Titanic. Anyways,
the Titan,
the ocean,
yeah, whatever. The Logitech controlled.
Absolute gamer, man.
Dude, they were on a big gamer moment.
I'm not even worried about the Logitech controller, though. That seems like pretty wise. Like, why mix it up? Like, I have gamer instincts in these fingers. If there was any chance of saving them, I would have needed a fucking, you know, analog controller.
I've played enough War Thunder and World of Warships to, you know, I should be able to bring a submarine up from the depths. What do you mean? Maybe if they hadn't made it with, like, duct tape and shit.
I mean, you say that, but I played that one mission in Grand Theft Auto too many times, and I can't fucking control that thing. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I feel like an idiot, and then I dive it right towards the bottom. That's probably what they did. They just got got the up and down inverted, and then went down a little too quick.
Oh, whoops! But, like, okay, so, you know, and there is, like, the whole, you made a triangle deal that's also an issue that has caused, like, so many things, not only for, like, boats and stuff, but also for aircraft. Of course, Stephen, there was the Flight 19 that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, that's all yours, man. If you love that story, you go for it.
Dude, so Flight 19 took place in December 5th, 1945. It was right towards the end of World War II. And there was it five or six TBF Avenger torpedo torpedo planes. It was a squadron. They were out on a training mission. Out towards, you know, the Florida, out towards the edge of Florida. They were supposed to do a training mission over there. They end up flying a little off course. It was said that they started having weird navigation problems. And it could be, in which they flew, I guess, a little too close to the sun. They flew a little too close to, I guess, the Bermuda Triangle, as it's said here, and they just could not figure out where they were. And I believe
their radio transmissions are terrifying.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to pull up is their last radio.
There's a few of them, and it's just like it's shit to the effect of we have no idea where we are. Oh, we think we're off the east coast of Florida somewhere. The compass is screwed up. We don't know what direction we're going. We think it's east. We're going to keep going this way.
Yeah,
but and like
that is horrifying.
We've never heard from them again.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, they never found that flight again. They were flight leader had 2,500 hours total time in his aircraft. So it's not like he wasn't experienced in his aircraft. He was, you know, a pretty good pilot at that, and you know, being a bomber in World War II is a big thing to be able to navigate, to be able to find, you know, your targets.
They didn't have a lot of GPS back in those days.
Yeah, they didn't have GPS, so it was a lot of like measurement tools using your compass and whatnot.
Sure.
So the flight leader wasn't doing the navigation, but rather the students were flying the route prescribed, estimated time and distance while holding the prescribed headings. The flight path was a triangle that would have them flying east during a practice bombing run and then proceeding east straight out of the or straight out into empty seas. After that, a timed run, they would turn, veer north for about 70 miles and then turn back towards Fort Lauderdale. What was known, they completed their bombing run. This was heard over the radio and a small fishing boat was spotted. The planes headed eastward afterward. After that, apparently the pilots undergoing training made a navigational error. At that, the flight leader stepped in, took over navigation, and only later the flight leader discovered that his compass was fucking off, and he couldn't figure out why his compasses were weird. Like, here's some of the radio transcripts from him radioing base whenever he started having a problem. So his plane was called His call sign was FT-74. So we got, or FT-74. This is FT-74 plane or boat calling. Powers, please identify yourself so someone can help you. I believe this is coming from the Air Force base. And it says there was no response, but additional radio communications were overheard as the flight leader talked to the other aircraft. Then FT-28 to FT-74, what is your problem? He responds, both my compasses are out. I'm trying to find Fort Lauderdale. I'm over land, but it's broken. I am sure I'm in the Keys, but I don't know how far down, and I don't know how to get to Fort Lauderdale. And pretty much they told him, put the sun off your port wing if you're on the Keys, and you should fly straight to Florida, straight to the coast of Florida, and we can direct you, you know, from there once you get to Florida. And then they started asking for his altitude and stuff. He was like, I'm at 2,300 feet. Don't come after me, because they were going to send a flight after him to come and help direct him back. And they told him, fuck you, we're sending a plane in after you anyways. then he was like, hey, I passed over a small island.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids, with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows. Astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today, or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
We have no other islands in sight. Let's see here. Let me get towards the end of this. God, they just could not figure out where they're at. Like, one here is like, we're at 270 degrees, we could hit land. The other one's like, we're at 030 degrees. Wait, what is it talking about? Ed comments, apparently the pilot is very confused at this point because there was almost no way, given the flight times and speeds, that he could have been over the Gulf of Mexico. So apparently this guy thinks now that he's over the Gulf of Mexico. What the fuck is going on? Did they, like, just confuse the absolute shit out of this guy?
Sounds okay, like so it.
Last trans...
Zach's on the mystery, baby. He's gonna figure this shit out.
I'm gonna find out where these fuckers are. And then last communication
I think
from them.
Dead.
Yeah, all planes close up tight. We have to ditch unless landfall. When the first plane drops below 10 gallons, we all go down together. And that was the last thing they heard from him.
That is insane.
And they calculate that he was probably 200 miles offshore. What? Okay, so...
Well, that's what they think, but then they went searching forever, and then they didn't find shit. Which, I mean, the ocean's big, right? Like, there's 1,000 reasons you probably don't find, like, a few planes in the ocean, but...
Yeah, I kind of wonder if they just... If they somehow got themselves lost over the top of the water, ran out of fuel, went to ditch... But the thing is, they've never found the plane. The planes.
I mean, that one's not, like, terribly concerning to me, right? Like, it's just, how do you get so lost like that? Like, with the Bermuda's Triangle specifically, I've always, like, wondered or read or whatever. I mean, I'm not smart enough to, like, come up with these ideas on my own, but it's something... electromagnetic interference wise in that particular location, like some deposit of like metal or Something happening maybe under the crust of the earth causing such fluctuations in the way like our, you know, stupid ass compasses work that it just baffles, you know, normal ways of navigation.
It's just great. Even with a pilot with enough hours to, you know, he should be able to navigate everything just fine. Even then they had precautions for if the compass fucked off, here's how to help. They should have been doing, you know, you fly at this speed for this amount of time, then you turn here, you do this for this amount of speed, and it seems like they just all got confused and just couldn't figure out how to. Of course, it was a training mission, but still, I don't know. Usually by now we should have figured out or found something from those planes, because something would have floated. Something in that aircraft should have floated.
Not the dudes.
Apparently not. They went straight down.
Yeah, no, they just they perished, unfortunately. But that's just like the horrible risk of doing anything on this planet, right? Like, however comfortable or however much comfort we find ourselves in, and whatever fresh, you know, way we get to feel about the cities we live in and the safety we appreciate and enjoy, just around the corner, man, there's a billion things waiting to kill you. You know, like we live in these cities, right? But they don't actually, like, take up that much land. Like, it's probably a very small percentage of land they take up. And a good chunk of everything else is just playing by the same game with the same rules that has been going on for like the last 2 million years or whatever, right? Like,
that is fucking incredible.
Just because we happen to find ourselves doing something kind of different, nothing else is. You know, deer still run from their fucking lives. Yeah. Grizzly bears still like break the spines of mooses and shit. Like, we don't. We're a blip. Like, a very unusual little thing. And if we don't recognize that, if you walk into the ocean or you fly a plane over some way of navigating, we got to be extra careful. And even in, if you're as careful as you can be, there's still a chance you just fucking disappear.
It's something else.
Oh, the missing 411 get me going, but that's for another time.
Yeah, that's another one we could get onto, but that was another one we could get into. There's also
What do you got, Matthew?
Yeah,
I got. If you guys don't have any more topics to think of, speaking of danger being around any corner, have you heard of Alexander Sonny Bean?
Is he around the corner now?
Yes. Do I need to, like, walk out my house? No. So the Bean homie himself is the original inspiration for the movie later on, The Hills Have Eyes. He was declared a witch by the people in his fucking village. I think it was Scotland is what it was. Taken in his village after he robbed and cannibalized a victim. And then from there, was hiding in cave systems.
Wait a minute. Wait.
We're not going to skip over
the rushed over that one pretty fucking quick.
Oh, yeah.
Cannibalized.
And then ate cannibalized. Somebody?
Yes. Cannibalized victims.
Okay.
Ended up going and retreating into a cave system 200 yards deep. And the entrance was blocked during high water, so it could give them time to hide. And undiscovered for 25 years. It was him and his partner at the time. They had 6 daughters, 8 sons, 14 grandkids, and 18 grandsons.
Man was going
as
at
well
it.
As
he
incest.
Said,
well, what else is he gonna be do in a fucking camp?
Yeah, that's
like,
about
dude, that's all he can do.
So the most fucked part, in my opinion, is that these people would bring bodies back to the cave where the corpses were dismembered and eaten. They would pickle the leftovers and discard the body parts into barrels. And these leftovers would sometimes wash up to nearby beaches. And the strategy would help conceal their crimes by leading villagers to believe the animals are responsible for the attacks on traveling.
Wait, so they just would take people back to their cave?
And just put them in, they would chop them, like, up, eat them,
yeah,
pickle them.
I got pickled fingers, pickled toes. you don't have to have any
relish,
do you?
What do you
want
tonight? A little fucking, a little grandson.
Can I give you a hand?
Jim Bob the inbred? Jesus.
It was Scotland. That's what it was.
Victim 5,593
victims. He was an absolute
bastard of a man, along with his incestuous children and grandchildren. All for the fact he's from his past. It seemed pretty normal, aside from him. Hey, I kind of want to eat people. It's just incredible to think about. He became an urban legend by the way he was undiscovered for 25 fucking years of killing these fucking people. It is incredible.
What a hobby!
It's a lifestyle at that point. Shit, it's just. It is incredible to think about. As well as he's also quoted.
Do you think we have anything like that, like around now?
Oh, we have to. We just have. We are the ones outside of the cave that we haven't discovered yet.
Matthew, you have to listen to this.
It's not Matthew. Don't worry.
Matthew, you have to listen to this. In the Japanese manga and anime series Attack on Titan, Hanj recounts the tale of a cannibalistic clan who captured two titans. She ends the tale by naming the two titans Swanee and Bean.
Son of a bitch. That's insane. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. That the two titans in Attack on Titan were named after this man because they just ate so many fucking people.
Jesus Christ.
Bro, that's like the all-father of cannibalism. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like he's the patron saint.
It's incredible to think about. Oh my. He was written about. There was another cannibal story from Scotland, even more redolent of the Sawney Bean tale than a Christine Cleek story. It's found in the 1996 work of Nathaniel Crotch, a compiler and popular history writer.
Nathaniel what?
Crotch. Yeah, Crotch. C-R-O-U-C-H. Crotch.
Okay.
Yeah, under the pseudonym Richard Burton, he tells the tale, which allegedly happened in 1459, the year before the death of James II of Scotland. Quoted as being, about what time a certain thief who likely primarily in a den with his wife and children were all buried alive, they having made their practice for many years to killing young people and eat them. One girl, only of a year old, was saved and brought up at Dundee, who at 12 years of being found guilty of the same horrid crime was condemned to the same punishment, and when the people found her in great mutilates to execution... mutiludes of execution, Jesus, wondering at her unnatural validity. She turned towards them with a cruel countenance, saying, this is the daughter saying, what do you thus rail at me? If I had done such as a heinous act, contrary to the nature of man, I tell you that you did, but know how pleasant the taste of man's flesh was. None of you all would forbear to eat it. And thus, with an impenitent and stubborn mind, she suffered deserves death. It is just a...
She's so full of shit. Fuck you. No, man. That is horseshit. Man, the Jules from Pulp Fiction. Like, a sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'm not gonna eat it because it's fucking filthy. You don't eat people. That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Nah, man, you too. No, hear me out. That's probably what the rich are doing, right? Like, they know. They know. We've never had the opportunity, but they know.
They know what's...
Maybe they're, like, that's why Americans are all, like, fat and shit, right? Like, they know how to get the marbling right. Like, you gotta get them from birth, you know?
Oh, what the fuck? Okay, so...
You know what? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we need to find an opportunity. Like... There has to be an opportunity in this life to eat a person, right?
Yes. What? I mean, yes.
I mean, if I die and sure. I put in my will...
Can be like, eaten. Is cannibalization necessary?
Eat this, bitch.
happy to help.
I got the smoker in the back of my Chick-fil-A? Truck still.
You smoke my meat. You smoke my meat and then you eat it. And then just, I would be down to give you all the opportunities. Only, of course, if y'all give me the same. Like, if y'all die first, I want to eat it. But
very curious times indeed.
No, so, I mean, like, that's not, like, it's not the times. This shit was happening in, like, fucking 50.
Yeah.
50,
it's,
like.
this is how life was.
I've been
was.
Doing this for a while. Are you kidding? That was probably one of the first delicacies, man. About the time we started figuring out how to kill each other with, like, tools or whatever.
I'll be right back.
You know, when we, like, picked up the bone.
That is exactly when we learned how good flesh tastes.
Wait, okay, so speaking on, like, flesh tasters, Jeffrey Dahmer.
The man himself.
The man himself. Yeah, okay, so everybody's, like, probably heard of Jeffrey Dahmer and whatnot, especially off of, like, the, what was that, the newer Netflix series they had over Jeffrey Dahmer. But we're gonna,
dude. I absolutely love that. Like the white girl fucking just like fell in love with this guy. That's so fucked up. It's like us liking Ted. You know what I mean? Like it's just such a fucked up.
Yo, I have a story about Ted Bundy, but it's not have anything to do with
thinking,
Ted Bundy.
I was thinking the other Ted.
I have a
by mail Ted.
I had a girl right out of high school that I had a short thing with for a bit.
She fucking ate you.
And no, her and her friend dubbed me Ted Bundy because I look like Ted Bundy apparently.
Do you? Let's get a side by side.
From then on, they dubbed me Ted Bundy, and I'm worried about that, because, like, Ted Bundy killed a bunch of women, and they, you know, I haven't
killed my... You definitely don't look like Ted Bundy.
I haven't killed my wife yet.
Yet.
Okay, so, you were talking about cannibals, and, like, famous cannibals. Have you ever heard of the Japanese man who, he traveled to France... for his college deal, for his college degree or whatever he was going on. I don't know what he was going for. That doesn't matter.
Sure.
And he had a woman that he like brought over to his apartment and whatnot. By the way, his name is Isai Sagawaga.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, yeah, name's all right, but, you know, fucking disrespect his name, I don't give a shit. So, he lured this woman into his apartment. She was a Dutch woman, named Renee Hartvel. Hartvel? Yeah, sure. And which he did the unaliving, took her apart. Did some things that should not be done to women. And then ate her over a span of 2 days.
Fantastic. What the fuck?
And then the leftovers, he just decided that he was going to dispose in two suitcases, in which he was caught by the French authorities. He was sent back to Japan, because they found him legally insane, and they transported him back to Japan, in which he spent 2 years in jail, and then he walks free. He's like a, they think of him as a, like a celebrity over there at the time, whenever he came back. They, you know, it was really weird. A man eats a woman, and, because he was rich, he got really nice lawyers, and they kind of just...
What a PR campaign, man. That's like Disney now, right?
The man just kind of... He basically just walked free. He didn't get anything from it, and he walked free, and at the time he was known as a celebrity. The man eats a woman, and he's like, yeah.
It's all good.
I'm pretty cool like that.
Yeah, I'm built different.
So fucking awesome.
Holy fucking it's shit. Just,
this is just a picture of a book that's bound by human skin. In case you want to see that. I don't know if you want to, but it's there.
Bad. I'm so down. What was the name of that report that you were talking about?
No, I mean,
about,
like, I there has to be... I don't know. Like, with enough money and, like, the right people in the right places, you could really just
I guess you can just get away with anything. I mean, look at the higher-ups in our government.
They, like, eat people and steal children's blood or whatever.
Oh, great.
How do you feel about Martian slave colonies? Are we ready for that talk?
That one might have to be another one.
We may have saved that one for next time. It is...
All right. Well, I'm locked and loaded.
You better be ready for that one because I'm here for it.
Fantastic.
Matt Damon. No, not Matt Damon. What's the one that was on Top Gun? He was probably that's part incredible. Of that.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. He was probably part of that. Oh, never mind. He was a Scientologist. Whatever. What's
my, my theory is he bit a homeless woman, and then they had to take his teeth
and add another
right?
one.
Sure.
And, well, they had to change his teeth, right? Because he did something wrong, so now they took one out and then squished them all together, and that's why he has the middle tooth.
Jesus,
middle tooth.
You know about the middle
tooth? Yes, I am very aware of the middle tooth, man.
I think it's because he bit somebody. I think he bit like a homeless woman or something. Did he actually bite a homeless woman?
I have no idea. I just call him good old middle tooth, but I have not looked into it.
So speaking of middle tooth, there's good old Mothman.
Mm.
Which is West Virginian.
Let's save this for next time. I got a scoot and skedaddle, fellas.
No, we okay. All right.
This is fair.
Dang old Mothman is coming up in the next one.
Episode 2, the Mothman.
The Mothman and how the Mars invaded us and just took us all as captures.
No, I think we're doing the... You know what? I won't get into it now. I will start talking about the Martian slave colonies that most allegedly do or do not exist. But always a pleasure talking to you, fellas.
Yes, sir. It was a good talk. We definitely have a lot of listening. Information to continue on because we could just continue on about the same topics just on the next
this
one.
Is so exciting.
I can just meander for hours. In fact, that's how I like.
This is how it is
past,
built. This
past
is true.
Time. I don't know.
Awesome.
I got more alien and ghost stories.
Oh, yeah. I got shit I'm already writing down for next time. Thank all you right, guys well. For joining me on this. We are all fucking getting this on. That was a hell of a fucking start.
We're getting it on. You heard him.
thank y'all for stopping by. Thank you, Hard Hat, and thank you, Steven, for joining.
Wow. Wow, that really hurt my feeling. I've known you for
years.
No,
I was thinking Hot Swap. Same difference. It doesn't fucking matter. Thank you all for listening. I hope you all enjoyed the first episode. See you guys in the next one. They will be linked in the previous episodes and hopefully on Spotify very soon, as well as Audio Boom. So we're going to see how that goes. Thank you, guys. Everybody have a great night. Thank you for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows. Astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today, or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at